Okay. Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate that. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the September 16th, 2021 Orange County Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council SB 823 Subcommittee meeting. At this time, because we are online, I will go ahead and do a roll call vote for those that are here. So Steve Sentman, I'm present as the chair. Kimberly Doyle.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for having me. Kimberly Doyle for the District Attorney's Office on behalf of Todd Spitzer. I just got an email from Laura Jose. She'll be logging on in just a minute.
Okay, I'll come back around to her. Thank you. Judge Motowiecki.
Good afternoon, everybody. Present.
Thank you, Judge. Raymond Sanchez.
Chief, I think he's a couple minutes behind. He should be joining us soon.
Okay, I'll get back to him. Thank you. Don Smith from Healthcare. Okay, Heather Benjamin.
Present. Waymakers, community-based representative.
Thank you, Heather. And I know Lynn Garrett won't be here, so do we have Katie?
I do. Hello, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Katie Ramazzani, representing Educational Services from Orange County Department of Education.
Okay, thank you, Katie. Good to see you, too, by the way.
You too.
All right, Steve Kim.
Hi, Steve Kim, Project Kinship in the Community. Present.
Okay, thank you. Nasli Restrepo.
Good morning, Nasli Restrepo from Project Youth OCBF, representing the community. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ken Santini.
Good afternoon, Ken Santini, representing SSA.
Thank you, Ken. Appreciate that. Go back one more time for Laura Jose, Public Defender.
Hi, I'm here.
Thank you, Laura. Appreciate you being here. And Raymond Sanchez.
Right here, Raymond Sanchez, Project Kingship.
Thank you, Raymond. And Don Smith.
I am here.
Okay, Don, thank you so much. All right, appreciate everybody hearing, being here today. That'll be for our welcome and introductions. We'll now move on to item number 2 of our agenda, which is the discussion of services and programs provided by the members and the member entities. At this time, I just want to see if there were any comments related or related to services and or programs by anybody on the committee.
I just have a question.
Laura,
Steve,
go ahead.
So I know that we have the list of services that were put together. Is that list going to be attached as part of the plan, or is that something that we are working on off of as a reference document? Like, what is sort of the role of that, of those materials?
Thank you, Lauren. That's a great question. Now, the plan has to address the 8 items that are under SB 823. I would view that at this time because we do need to get an initial plan before the OCJJCC through the board and up to the Office of Youth and Community Restoration. I would view that document as a working document as we'll continue to move forward on specific on the programs. Those were to identify what we had and potentially what we would need it, but it would not be attached to the plan at this time, but the committee would still have access to it.
Okay, thank you.
That answered your question there. I'm looking the look on your face now. I'll make sure I got you covered there.
It answers my question, but I just think we will probably talk about it later, but I think that that is, for me, sort of the meat and potatoes of what we ultimately need to get to, right? Because those programs, I see a list, and it's a very comprehensive list, but it's difficult to know what is behind the titles of those programs, right? Like, what is the efficacy of those programs? What are the outcomes? What's the, from the consumer perspective, I'm representing the consumers in court, and having to do 707 hearings to justify keeping our youth in the juvenile system, those programs and the efficacy of those programs are going to be critical to that piece. So I just don't want to lose sight of the fact that while we have a list of programs that, that's not, I don't think, as far as we want to delve into that, those programs.
Yeah. I had a follow-up question, and forgive me because I only was able to log on to the meeting, last week's meeting, at the tail end. But first and foremost, with respect to the programs and services, Chief, your team actually, through the facilities, they went and started talking to our youth who are present in the facilities to try and get a feedback from this target population as to additional programs and services that they found to be beneficial while they're housed at our facilities. One of the main programs or services that I don't think we've necessarily identified as a subcommittee were creative arts programming. And I know that that's generalized, and I'll get to Laura's point in a second, but also hygiene programs. They also were asking for those type of services while they're housed at our facilities. So again, I think that youth voice is very important. I know we have the members from the community here who can also speak to that, but there's some additional programs that I'm sorting through as far as comparing what we identified as a subcommittee and what your group on the ground has been able to gather from these from our target population in our facilities right now. So those were the main two categories. But I did have a question, kind of what I think this goes to what Laura's asking. And that my hope is that Laura, what would happen, excuse me, what would happen is we identify these programs and services, and then hopefully the plan gets approved. We get the allotment based on our plan being approved. And then what I would hope is that the Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council would have some type of ability to make sure that the programming that is selected, that falls within those programs and services that we've generally identified, that those programs and services that we actually go after and seek to enhance and obtain for our youth are somehow vetted so that they have some type of control and evidence-based, or I think promising practice is what Dawn also taught me about, for our youth, and that we're not just kind of implementing things without some type of performance to you know, before we even put it in place. So I am in agreement with Laura. I think that has to be looked at, but I understand that that might come through the Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council and their review and ultimate, like, kind of control over these funds that are coming through after the plan. But my additional question is that if the, I thought we were working on these programs and services and identifying them through this template, but then when I see what is attached, and again, forgive me because I wasn't at the last meeting, there is just a generalized report on the programs and services, which I had a chance to look through, but it doesn't seem to really capture, I think, the things that we'd like to do with the programs and services for our youth, because we've all identified through our talking here in our subcommittee that there are gaps and needs for this target population that we don't have. And I really think that we have to, you know, like I've been saying from the beginning, take the, you know, lift up the blankets and really take a deep dive and figure out what do we really have and what can we do to enhance and provide for this target population. But the report seems to really just generalize, and it speaks to existing, but it doesn't speak to really like what we all talked about, this vision that we have about robust case management, you know, navigators, things like that. And Steve, I know you're up there and you're working with the other probation departments on how they're approaching this plan, and I know it's all new and what kind of things that the state's going to be looking for, but I just think that our verbiage needs to be maybe modified a little bit, because it doesn't seem to suggest that we have really taken the deep dive to look at, okay, these are the things that we've all come together, community partners, everybody on the ground, youth voice, to say this is what we want to do. If you give us this money, this is what we want to do with it. So
I'm going to see if I can, thank you, Judge. I appreciate what yourself and Laura and everybody's saying. I think if I can I was going to get into more detail in talking about the plan, but I can address your questions now to understand. And the plan that goes forward today, as I envision, and as I hear statewide, because there's no OICR who's going to have ultimately some say-so what these plans are, most counties, and I think our intention too, is to provide, to address the eight areas that SB 823 asks us to do, ensure that those areas will be met, knowing that right after, let's just say December 30th or January 1st when the plan's submitted and hopefully we have more guidance from OICR, we would be meeting right back again to get to both of your points to be deeper into those programs, either programs that we haven't identified, you just mentioned, Judge, the, I wrote them down, hygiene and creative arts, and we identify those and really break down those programs in knowing that the plans that I've reviewed in SEED are really trying to provide flexibility and the ability to do what you're saying, that this plan, and then we just shut everything down and hope stuff works. That's not the way I envision it as the chair. The funding will come to meet this plan and what they're asking of the plan. Now knowing what OICR will ask, and I'm actually in a meeting with Dr. Galley next week. I'll be up in Sacramento to meet with him. And I'm going to express that same thing, that these plans now are, each county is trying to provide flexibility, the ability to meet the expectations of SBA 23. But we also want to take it to those next levels in each county. And when I review this list that Judge, you chaired along working with Daniel, I foresee that we would have to get deeper in these because of input of youth, which I heard you say, is so important too. And we'd want to make sure that we encapsulate that. That plan can be built upon amendments to that plan forward as we get up and rolling with this. So I feel like I'm generalizing in my answer is, but I want to provide as much or hope to provide as much flexibility for this committee, for the JJCC, for the board, more importantly, for the youth, so that we start this in play when, and Judge, you order somebody to secure track, now when we write in the case plan, that we would have a more in-depth menu of what that is forward. But right now, we're trying to meet some timelines to a group. We don't know who they are and what they're going to expect. That's, you know, I think that's just the first step of multiple steps through this process, if that answers that for you. I don't see that this is it and we're done. I see that we're meeting the standard to ensure the funding comes, and then we get the processes in place to meet the needs of the youth, which includes those programs and services, including everything that Laura said too. I just think there's so many unknowns, and I plan on expressing this to Dr. Gow, without having direction from OICR that states in the legislation that they will approve the plans, what that means. We can do what we want. Let's just say they approve the high level that we sent to them, we, by all means, we should go more in depth to better serve our youth. I will make that commitment as we move forward.
Well, and that is my issue, and I know that, you know, this is all new to you and to everybody who's submitting plans, but that is my issue, is that, you know, all of us, I think, are where we are because we are, to a certain extent, overachievers, and we want to do everything, and so to me, it's like, if we're doing all of this work on the ground, you know, is it going to be enough to generalize things to the state to make sure that we do get the appropriate funds for our youth? Because, you know, that's what it's all about. And so I know that you probably are operating on what you're seeing in other counties, but I would just like to make sure that, you know, we secure every single cent that we can through our documents that we present. And, you know, we've got this robust group right now that has a lot of input for our kids, and I just don't know whether or not generalizing it would be enough, or I certainly don't think that saying that the existing programs are going to be enough.
And I would agree on two parts, that existing programs are for threshold for us to build upon for the future and identifying more. But I will ask specifically to Dr. Galley, what is his intentions? Do we want a robust, more intentional piece that explains piece by piece, or ensure that we will do that? I wish I had an answer. I don't, other than they've launched this E-23 aircraft and we're building it, which, and you've been in this business long enough, all of us on this call have, to know that that makes it very difficult. But I think this committee is committed to ensuring that we provide the best programs for our youth, and what it's going to take to do that, we'll do that. And I understand when you're talking about funding, there'll never be enough funding. It's just to make sure that every bit of finances we can get from the state and forward, that we invest in these programs to get the best possible for you.
And maybe when we get to agenda item number 4 and we're going through the draft in the program and services category, maybe mediation may be to have a statement added that says something about that we will create a subcommittee to enhance current programming and bring on new programming to meet the needs of the population. Some phrase that says this isn't the end, this is just the high level overview and what our intentions would be.
Heather, I think you bring up a great point, and I think in the legislative world they call that earmark or, you know, placeholder, whatever the right term, but I think please hold that thought. I think that's a great point to add that to that, because it also commits the committee to moving forward with that, but more importantly, it would hopefully ensure the state that we will have more, and we're going to need more, so to cover both sides of that. So, okay, I appreciate everybody's comments related to that. Is there other questions for item number two related to discussion and services of programs, or that we can carry that over to item four? But I want to make sure if there's anything else that I missed with the group. And Jamie, I think we have this on spotlight, because I always see whoever the last person that spoke, so I have Heather. But either way, whichever way, it does come up with who's speaking, so can I just watch the squares here. Also, just for if those were wondering what that picture is behind me, that is the multi-purpose center drawing. As we're getting closer to that we put together, I just want to keep that in mind of the big vision. And it's also for Judge Motoike to know that we are moving forward right there. There's a picture behind me there that shows that. We haven't lost sight of that either. Okay. Nothing further from the committee. Let me see if there's any public comments, Jamie, related to item number two.
Yeah, if there's any comments for item two, if you can hit star 9 or the hand raise icon on the Zoom app. No requests.
Okay, thank you, Jamie. Appreciate that. Moving to item number three, discussion of subcommittee member group reports. I don't know if there are any member group reports. I think here's a lot of our discussion is going to move into number four, but let me just check with the committee. Were there any subcommittee member group reports? Okay, and Jamie, if I can have you do the honors, please, related to public comments.
If there's any requests, if you could hit star 9 on your phone or the hand raise icon on your Zoom app. No requests.
Okay. Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate that. Okay, moving on to item number four, discussion and approval of draft Orange County Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council, SB 823 subcommittee draft plan. We've started to already move into those discussions. Let me just kind of give some timelines before I open up for discussions related to this. Our next meeting is October the 7th. We are hoping to have most of the language, if not all the language requests, put into the plan as it stands as a draft along with a budget, knowing that our 10/21 meeting, which would be in 2 weeks after that, to finalize the plan, and then looking to bring it before the JJCC on the October 28th meeting for final approval, and then to our Board of Supervisors for the November or December meeting. Just to be mindful of that, ultimately when it gets to the board, as I see it at this point, the board just needs to ensure that we adhere to what was expected in the plan. But I think more importantly in this plan is what with Judge Motoike, as well as Laura Jose, Heather Benjamin brought up, if we will go through these pieces here to see if there's more detailed language or to put an earmark possibly if needed to ensure that what we're going to do forward after this initial plan, knowing that we have the OYCR, again, the Office of Youth and Community Restoration, any expectations that they may have, so that with this initial plan, and I do view this as initial plan, that what we build upon for any subsequent plan would include what's needed. So at this time, I'm going to have Brian Prado, Assistant Chief Prado. Brian, if I can have you come up and kind of get us started on the plan, and also just to thank you for covering the meeting on the 9th, as I was not able to be there, and kind of show us what we have forward. So, Assistant Chief Prado.
Good afternoon, Chair, members of the SB 23 Subcommittee, Brian Prado with the Probation Department. And as we talked about last week, the overarching draft plan was presented to the group during the last meeting with the idea that this was just a synopsis of the discussions that have been going over, or the group has been entertaining over the past several weeks. And yes, to Judge Morike as well as Laura Jose, they were high-level ideas with no specific in particulars specific to any of the existing programs or services that are currently being provided to our current youth, other than to say that future youth that are ordered to participate in SecureTrack would have access to existing services and support that are currently in existence through our collaborative efforts. But in addition, enhanced services would focus in essence, three areas, right? They would focus on housing and support while a youth was in custody. And these services and support systems would be geared towards the needs of the youth. So housing as well as support while the youth was inside wouldn't necessarily be focused in one particular location, wherever the youth was housed within probation's juvenile facilities. The services, based on needs, would follow the youth, whether they remained at juvenile hall or stepped down to the Youth Leadership Academy or to the future Youth Guidance Center. In addition to the in-custody support, all education would be based on the needs of the youth. So older youth or those that had completed some of the compulsory high school education or general education degree requirements would have the opportunity and access for further either high school educational courses or training that would help with not only a reentry and smooth transition back into the community, but would allow the youth to be more job ready. So these educational programs, again, based on the assessment and the needs of the youth, would be provided while the youth was still in custody. And of course, reentry services would be geared towards providing youth with not only the skills necessary so that he or she could more successfully transition into the community, but they would have access to temporary housing options as well as hopefully more permanent housing options. So those were kind of the three areas from where this more generalized plan was submitted for the subcommittee's review. So last meeting, there was some concern about the need to provide at least the idea. I think Laura had mentioned last time, we want to make sure that the community at large, as well as the youth that we're going to serve, understand that we're going to be providing services and support that have some efficacy, right? That we're just not going to fund programs for the sake of funding programs. So we wanted to make sure that there was language embedded in the plan that articulated that whether it was in-custody services or reentry services, that those services would be, wherever possible, evidence-based or based on evidence-informed strategies. And thank you to Dawn for ensuring that the language included evidence-informed language to give us some level of flexibility so we didn't back ourselves into a corner, right? Not allow for the possibility to include programs that were at least evidence-informed or at least promising. And it didn't, let's say, either make it through or go through the rigors of the normal evidence-based requirements. Let's see. So let me start from the kind of the beginning.
Thank you to Dawn and Heather Benjamin. If you go on the kind of the subcommittee composition page for providing me with some contact information. Raymond, I think offline you and I will still need to connect so I can get a phone number that you're comfortable with putting out to the general public as part of the plan. In the moving on to the target population section, there was a request to, at least at a high level, provide more of a description of Welfare and Institution Code 707B, as well as maybe a percentage of the identified targeted youth population that we put together as part of our overview, to give a percentage of the types of offenses that had been either committed by the youth or those offenses that they were adjudicated. So I apologize in advance. Because of the quick turnaround, I wasn't able to get the percentages of offenses that were committed or adjudicated of this target population. But as the chief had mentioned, by the time the next iteration of this plan, i.e. on or about October 7th, when the subcommittee reviews this plan again, more updated language will be included to include not only offenses, but the percentage of those youth that committed those offenses will be included in this section.
Brian, can I?
Yes.
Are we going to go section by section and discuss them, or are we going to go through the entire plan and then come back for comments?
We can do it either way. We can go section by section if you wish. We can start here since we are at the target population, unless you wanted to go.
Yes. I'd like to do section by section.
Sure.
I just have a suggestion, and I think, sure. And thank you very much for making these corrections. I really appreciate it. The one thing, you know, we're trained, especially as lawyers, is, you know, we IRAC. We do issues, and we do analysis, and we make conclusions, and that's the way we draft documents. The one thing that I see that I would really appreciate, if I was a person and I was reading this and I was approving this for our county, is, as I suggested the last time, is when we address the target population, right next to it, put the actual WIC code section, and then put the question that they're asking us. So that way it's really clear when we're answering it for them that we've answered all the parts that they want us to answer. So for instance, for target population, it's WIC 1195C1, and then there's a few subsections within that. The first one is they briefly describe the county's realignment target population supported by the block grant, which we have done. But then it goes into another question. It says demographics of identified target population, including anticipated numbers of youth served, delineate by factors including age, gender, race, ethnicity, and offense history. And we talked about that last week, and it was kind of one of those things where, do we really want to get into the weeds? Well, we may not want to get into the weeds, but they're asking us to. So that's my concern, is that we address exactly the questions they're asking of us, so it's not coming back, so that we've asked, you know, answered those questions. And that's true as to each section, and I'll kind of go through that, because there's other sections that actually have 7 to 8 questions that we didn't answer. And I think that we have to, if we're going to be proposing this document on behalf of the A23 committee for approval, not only from our county, from our council, but as well as the state, I think we need to answer those questions. So I just wanted to point that out, that if we start there and have the actual WIC code section with the question answered and then actually answer it, it would be easier for us, it would be easier for everyone reading it. So that's my suggestion.
Can I just also bring up something else? Throughout the document, we speak to the target population, but we also then speak to a committed group of youth to the SYTF. But I think there's some confusion because we have a very small population we historically have who are actually committed to DJJ, right, Brian? And to say that our target population is actually going to be bigger than that SYTF population. So there's references to just that SYTF population, like after commitment to SYTF, when then we're missing the entire target population. that's actually bigger than that small amount of youth who may be committed to the SYTF. So throughout the document, just when I'm looking at it, I'm seeing a lot of the discussion around kids who are committed to the SYTF. Well, we know historically most of our kids aren't going to are going to be within the target population, but not be committed to the SYTF. And I don't think this legislation is meant to commit more kids to the SYTF. I think it's meant to just address the services for the SYTF youth as well as the target population. So throughout the document, I think that language or verbiage kind of needs to be clarified or opened up so that we realize it's a target population and there's going to be a smaller group that, yes, they're going to be on this track for the SYTF.
No, that's a great point, Your Honor. And in as much as I tried to encapsulate how probation came up with that target population, that was the difficult part, right? In fact, it's the second to the last sentence in there that kind of defines how we put together the demographics that make up our target population. And so the 51 that were mentioned included all youthful or young adult offenders that not only were currently being supported by the Department of Juvenile Justice at the time of the capture, which was in essence June of this year, but it also included, to your point, that larger group that would have, let's say, otherwise been eligible for the commitment up to the state, but because of efforts by yourself and other collaborative partners, we kept them home, right? They did include, for example, not only the four that we had at EJJ at the time of the capture, but those youth that were part of our youth development plan. Now, we could certainly, we could articulate that for the purposes of the document. I certainly did not want to convolute the document by saying that Orange County already had a strategy to provide support for the youth, but I can certainly say that because what I was trying to steer away from was the idea that Orange County did not have a strategy already, when in fact a number of us already know that we've got a strategy, again, through your efforts, where we're already partnering with the community in now, albeit it's a limited capacity, and we are trying to leverage that strategy and expand upon that to provide broadened services, right? All of the things that we're talking about. Enhanced assessments, availability to more effectively connect with community partners to provide things like enhanced reentry services, educational opportunities, and housing. That's what we're trying to do. But again, I did not want to highlight the fact that we're already underway here, and that while we would fully want to take on any additional resources that we can secure, right, to enhance our service delivery, I found myself in this very awkward place, especially if there was any concern that we were supplanting what services we already have in place, if what I'm saying makes sense at all to everybody. So that's kind of, but I can certainly put a lot more detail in this document, and make it a little bit more clear in certain respects. But, you know, obviously I'm looking to not only the guidance but the appetite of the group before I put anything down on paper. And it kind of goes specifically to points that Laura had brought up last time. Hey, this is way too generic. it's almost what was the characterization? It's
I called it fluff.
Yeah, it's a lot of fluff. There's not a lot of specificity. Is there a way that we can provide a little bit more specificity? And again, the hard part I have is I know sometimes where this goes, right? If you provide specifics as to what you are doing now and you already have in place, then where's the enhancement?
Right. I think I'm getting what your concern is, and to Judge Motueke's point, but aren't we really, because I understand the supplantation issue is a problem, but I think aren't we just trying to say that that larger population that Judge Motueke described, while we have services, we intend to enhance those services because that's part of what the money's for. And I guess I don't necessarily see the concern that someone might think, well, you know, we already have some great services and maybe they'll think we don't. Like, I don't, from my perspective, I don't really care about that so much as making sure that we do get better services. And that sort of goes to the, and that this language may not be appropriate here, but in a later section, the point of, you know, we've talked about wanting to vet whatever we add to our existing services, but there also should be language to the point you're speaking of, is that our existing program is good, but we also need to, there should be language in there that we will evaluate our current programs to see if we need to change or enhance, because then we're not supplanting, right? Then we're saying, I'm throwing this out because I'm gonna start from scratch or add different components, or we need navigators, or we need peer, you know, like we have counseling, but we know we have a continuation of care problem. So we're not supplanting when we're adding pieces to our existing processes, because one of the evaluations that I'd like to see is not just the program, but how is the program being implemented? Because you can write all kinds of stuff, but if the implementation falls apart, which from our perspective is sometimes the problem, right? It's the way it gets delivered. It's not really what it's supposed to look like. And so to me, that's not supplanting. That's us saying, we're gonna take what we have, which we think is pretty good for this high needs population. We're gonna pull it apart. We're gonna put it back together and we're gonna add to it. So that's just my position.
Oh no, and it's a fair position. The again, the difficulty is just defining what we already have, and this goes to the point that both you and Judge Motueke had asked earlier. What's the purpose of providing a list of the current services and kind of slate of support that we have currently? And to the Chief's point, is that gives us kind of that baseline. Right? So that is from where we're supposed to enhance. So if we're, and again, like I said last time, we're pretty good in comparison. And I think the Chief would echo the sentiment that there's a reason, right? There's a reason that the County of Orange has not had to rely on the Department of Juvenile Justice historically. We've been, because of our collaborative efforts, been able to keep a number of our youth here at home because we can support them pretty well. It's just now, how can we take advantage of the environment today where we can actually leverage some outside resources to your point, Laura, enhance what services we have now to make them even better. Now, you know, our challenge on the probation side is how do we write that up so that we articulate not only the reality of today, yeah, we've got a pretty good program, we want to make it better, and this is how we're going to make it better. So, you know, and again, it's the group discussion here that will help with drafting something, hopefully that will make sense for
everyone. So if I can add 2 points, Brian, and I appreciate all the comments too, is a first point that that Kim had made from our district attorney's office is that there are questions, and on those questions, we should answer those to the best of the ability. So in return, we've addressed more than just generically what the plan's saying, but we've addressed the questions. But I think Laura just hit the nail on the head for me, as much as I can see. We just have to figure out the verbiage, is not just not being too concerned about supplanting. I don't even know where that says that in there, but addressing more is, as you said, Brian, we do feel very good about the programs we have. So let's evaluate our current programs to meet this population. And then build upon that in enhancements and or adding new programs that, as Judge Motorike mentioned earlier, where there's gaps that don't provide. I think it's just putting those words into play there. Also formalized, or makes it formal, that our commitment into the programs we have, we're not just going to go right in and we're going to look at what we have to ensure it's meeting the youth's needs. And where they are, they will. And where it needs to be enhanced, we will. More importantly, when we identify the gaps that we have, potentially that we could have, that we would put those in place too. So just to try to bring that home to that conversation and bring that around and reading SB 23, which I have here in front of me here too, is we can add more to those the breakdowns of those questions to ensure that we answer them. Somewhat more. So let me just ask on that. So I agree, we go through each section with the target population. So we've gone through that section where we've identified to have more of a breakdown on what a 707B offenses are and how our youth break down into the percentages of those charges. X percent of youth have committed this offense. And I'm gonna, if I understand correctly, Kim, is that what you were stating, reference that?
Yeah, what I was saying is, if we're going to follow the questions of actually what they're asking us, we do have to answer those questions.
Gotcha.
So I just want to make sure we don't miss the mark on that and be asked to readdress them later. So
starting with target population, was there any more to add to that? And Brian, I don't mean to interrupt. I just want to make sure we don't move into another section without that we've covered the best we can with target population. Because I think what I'm looking at, what Kim was talking about, demographics identify the target population, including anticipated numbers of served factors, including age, gender, race, offense, and offense history. Those are some of the things that we need to have more substance related to that.
If I may?
Yeah, go ahead. Ashley, please.
Thank you. I appreciate the conversation regarding about the plan, and I think you answered my question. I just wanted to clarify though, so we can add more.
Yeah.
We're not restricted to what they're saying on here, which is great, because that was kind of one of my things, is that I thought this plan was to help us assess the needs of the population. So as we're doing a strategic plan, which in many times that's, I think this is what it is. And so there are definitely components in here that are, I would appreciate the questions on it, because I don't have that in front of me. I don't know what you have, Kim, but that would be nice for me to have in my hands too, as far as knowing what the questions was asked, because I definitely want to make sure that we address all the questions. And then on top of it, if this plan is to help us address the needs, definitely I would want to know the city that they're in, because one of the things as part of this plan was just to make sure that our services are appropriate and close to their family, right? And that the needs, that the services are accessible to them. And I won't know that unless I know what geographically they're in. So making sure that those things are addressed and add as much information that's there to kind of nod to what we're talking about, because the better we have it, then that's a better guide for us to know how we address it. And definitely having that, and as far as just talking in this section, target population, I would definitely want to know, where is this happening? Is it mostly happening, and if we have zip codes, that would be even better. Or at least the city, that way we geographically know, are our facilities in those areas? Do we have drug treatment programs in those areas, right? I mean, we really need to take a look at those, because that's going to help me, at least I would say, understand where we go with the services.
Yeah,
had two comments. One that addresses what Nasli just said. There was conversation last time about not including the zip codes from a community-based provider. I think that's important to include them to know where we need to have facilities or programming concentrated in, because if we have mostly North Orange County members, but the service that we have is in South Orange County, that's going to be difficult. But I also understood the counter side to that. So I just wanted to update those that weren't on the call last time. And also that Brian had acknowledged this suggestion last time that whatever program and services we list in that section, that it correlates to a need in the target population. So if we're proposing, for example, mental health services, that in the target population, we have a listing of how many of our population also have a diagnosis. Or like it is, if we're suggesting drug treatment, how many have a substance, what percentage. So he did acknowledge that last time as well.
Thank you, Heather. And then Brian, real quick, I'm gonna go right back to you, but I see some of those things, it looks like we just need to build upon the third paragraph. We did have a breakdown of, I think I read 41% of the group had a drug or chemical abuse risk. So we did have some of those percentages, but looking further and breaking that down, and then we're looking for to ensure that we know the communities we're serving, ensuring that those communities are accessible, not only while they're in custody, the services brought to them, but when they get out of in the reentry type setting, that those services are available or accessible to them.
Yeah, kind of to dovetail on what Heather had mentioned, we had a fairly extensive conversation about trying to balance in what area we wanted to be specific and what areas we did want to be more generalized. We certainly did not want to highlight certain cities or zip codes for fear that this would become not an overarching Orange County plan, but it would appear as though it was only focused on, you know, in this particular case, the same cities where our generalized probation population comes from and where the concentration of our services are currently. So again, a lot of great feedback. We will take yet another stab at the verbiage to make sure so that specifically for the target population section, we will make sure that all of the feedback that has been given this afternoon will be incorporated into the next iteration of this document and plan for the group's consideration next time.
And can I go ahead and jump in for just a minute? I can't tell who can see me on their screen and who can't. So this is Dawn.
I sure do.
Hi, Dawn.
I'm talking now so people can see me. One thing that I wanted to mention in that third paragraph also, where we have the 41% of the group had drug/chemical abuse, we're always learning and growing. I wanted to ask if substance use might be an accurate thing to put there instead, since using use rather than abuse is kind of more current and makes it all clear.
Yeah, and Dawn, thank you. Dawn and I attend many of the same meetings, and Dawn had given an update to our OC Cares group. And so as soon as she did, I thought, holy stars, I got to go change some stuff. So thanks, Dawn, for the reminder.
And nothing is not consistent. Yeah, that's thank right.
Yes, exactly. And it's behavior health services, Dawn, which includes mental health and substance use.
Mental health and substance use or behavioral health, yes.
Gotcha. Yep. No, Brian talked about that earlier, so. Okay, is that what your hand was up, or you high five and Brian?
Yes, that's why my hand was up, so I was
right.
Thank
right,
you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Okay, Brian, back to you.
I see Stan with his hand up.
All right. Yep, go ahead, Steve.
All right, Chief, just real quick. Don, I was giving you a high five, too, there, so it's a virtual high five. I don't know if this is helpful or if this is appropriate in the target population, but, you know, it would be good to see the word trauma
in this document, because what we're all learning is that trauma plays a significant portion on all these outcomes and things that we're seeing. And so the reason why I think it would be good to call out, because I think at the same time in the services we provide, we want to add in trauma-informed services just to get that verbiage out there. And I think that will also connect with the substance use mental health services that we're talking about. And so if you all agree, I think it's a good idea, that came out to me. And then just one final thing, I can't help it, but I'm teaching this course right now on juvenile justice, and I was reminded in the course that a juvenile justice system was originally built to rehabilitate, and then we ran into all these problems because it kind of swayed towards punitive measures and all that stuff. And so I don't know, it would be cool to see the word rehabilitate, come back as we're talking about youth work in our documents, to say that, we are focused on helping to rehabilitate, because we know in theory and in science, youth are different than adults. And so it would be cool to bring back some of that old school origins of why the juvenile justice system was created. And I only know that because we had a course that I was teaching. I said, oh, this is good history. And so I think in the documents, if we started utilizing the word rehabilitate, could be a good thing. So that's all.
Okay, Steve. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, Brian. A little work we got on target populations. I know I wrote down some notes, too. We'll work on that. Can you take us through the other section? I know there was some added verbiage in the program and services.
Okay. For programs and services section, a statement, again, to align with... trying to balance what we know already exists and where we want to get in the future. Wanted to add that last kind of definitive statement. I had Laura in my ear as I was trying to figure this out, and indicating that after all is said and done, the ultimate goal is to assess and meet the needs of our SBA 23 targeted population. So once we do much more work on doing a better job at identifying the target population in the preceding section, that statement and other statements that follow hopefully will be much more clear and make more sense. So in the red in this version, you saw that was kind of that high-level goal statement. To allude back to what was stated before, any in-custody services would be culturally appropriate. Specifically, a nod to Steve Kim will ensure that there are language points in there that indicate there will also be a recognition of trauma-informed. Again, that we're looking to support culturally appropriate and wherever possible evidence-based or evidence-informed or promising practice strategies. The second paragraph down is in recognition of Dawn's feedback concerning mental health, the change to behavioral health, a combination in friends, mental health, and substance use disorder. Dawn, I will change that unless I can't remember if you had mentioned that substance use disorder, that vernacular, was still appropriate.
Substance use is. The other thing that I was thinking is that trauma-informed could potentially go there. Other things will also be trauma-informed, but if you were to say Secure Track youth will have access to trauma-informed behavioral health, i.e. mental health and substance use disorder professionals, that would be one way to sort of insert the trauma piece that Steve was talking about. And I think that's what professionals in behavioral health try to do and should be educated on, particularly with this population. So,
okay.
Don, can I just ask real quick, sorry, Brian, just to interrupt. So, and I'm trying to understand, so when you say evidence-based and we have slash informed, you can almost say evidence-based slash trauma-informed strategy.
evidence, which would incorporate, evidence based is going hand in hand with trauma informed, or is the trauma more placed onto the behavioral side?
No, I'm sorry. The trauma informed, I was in paragraph 3 where we were talking about access to the behavioral health, because I think that's trauma, and you want trauma informed behavioral health professionals. But I think in terms of evidence-based or evidence-informed, it's, evidence-based, evidence-informed, or promising practices. That's kind of the language that's typically used there. So it could be any of those three things.
Okay.
Not just evidence-based or evidence-informed. And trauma-informed is a little bit different, because you can have evidence-based practices that, they should be trauma-informed, but that may not be their focus. So it's kind of a separate piece.
Okay, and again, I don't want to add to Laura's comment adding fluff and words. I want to make sure it's appropriate to keep us focused. As we're evaluating programs, enhancing programs, bringing on programs, that we've got some base, we're looking to address. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Sure.
Sorry, Brian, go ahead. Back to you.
No, not at all. Again, as mentioned, this is all good feedback. Again, trying to put forward put forth a high-level document that kind of articulates what Orange County's priorities are as we develop a plan for our youth here at home. So at this point, I would be open for any other additional comments specific to this section. Yes, Your Honor.
I did the real hand raise.
Yeah.
Brian, this is kind of the section that I was alluding to earlier, and that is, it is a little bit misleading in that it speaks to just secure track youth. So that's where I think the language just needs to be more inclusive of the overarching target population. For example, the first sentence starts out with Orange County secure track youth will be afforded the support services. It should actually be the target population. And then when you speak to the robust case plan servicing, case plan and management that we're going to provide, it speaks only to those committed to the secure track, which, really we want the target population to benefit from all of that. So just if we could kind of like change up that language. And might this be a good section to put in, at least to, I think, Nasli and Laura's point about really evaluating the current programs and putting them to some type of review in order to really implement the best programs for these youth.
I mean, that was my thought. I don't know if it's just at the end of the first paragraph or if it's a separate paragraph, but where we make a commitment to evaluating the efficacy of existing programs and this isn't the perfect language, but make changes or enhancements where appropriate, as in addition to seeking new programs for enhancement. I mean, that's just the gist of it, but I do think, to the chief's point that we talked about at the beginning, I mean, for me, part of the purpose of the document is to hold us accountable to that, and we have some great stuff, but it needs to be, in my humble opinion, pulled apart and put back together. And I just am not really comfortable with the language that makes it sound like we're just gonna keep doing what we're doing. I know that's not the commitment of this group. I don't believe that, but I just, that's all.
I understand what you're saying, because that takes away from, we're just plugging you back in what we already have. That might work, but at least did our due diligence to ensure that it in fact works with the secure/ target populations. I want to add that for the judge. I think we got that. And to even previously, when you look at program services section, there is five different sections of there to answering the questions they're asking us. We need to incorporate those five. So we will. We will take a look at that.
State, can I ask you a question just really quickly?
Yeah.
I missed who you were going to contact in regards to what they're looking for from us before we finalize the plan.
So the OICR, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but ultimately these plans will go to a new state entity under Health and Human Services, which is the OICR, Office of Youth and Community Restoration. They will have oversight of all 50 or whatever number of counties that have juvenile facility plans, and then provide feedback. But that information in between there is one of the meetings I will be having with next week with some other chiefs, with Dr. Galley, to talk about that. That's why I'm saying putting our plan together, answering the questions to the best of our ability, but leaving that flexibility. So if OICR, like any other potential oversight, I want something completely different. We don't have to start from scratch. We can maybe cut and paste where we need to put it in play. But there's still some unknowns from what this group. They could just take the plans and go, those look great. Thank you for submitting, that 20-page document, Orange County. You're good to go. Okay. But to the judge's point earlier, that's not enough for us, nor would this committee accept that. So, okay, thank you for taking our plan, but we're going to do even more further. So somewhere between those two points.
And can I make one point? I know that we're going to go back and we're going to look at each one of those sections within the WIC code, but I keep stressing that because there's several questions that weren't answered under 1995 C2 for programs. It specifically says we're supposed to describe the facilities, the programs, the services and service providers, supervision, and other responses that are provided for that target population. We don't have to get into the weeds on that, but I think that we haven't answered that question. And I'm not sure, when you talk to this person, OICR, he may say you don't need to go into that, but we don't even describe the facility in here that we have, you know, these are the facilities we have. So I think I'm a little bit concerned for the lack of that as well.
Okay. And another reason I'm taking these notes too is to meet with Dr. Galley, who is the secretary of HSS over that this person will be reporting to them. These are great questions. As we said, it's a very large county. It should matter the size of your county. We're looking to address the questions that are asked of us.
And just to go with that is very similar to like a logic model, which I know that I believe we've used. I don't know if we used it for this group or for the JJC. We've used that type of model, which that's what it's hitting. It's looking at those, you know, what's our objective? What's our, you know, what are the goals? What are the objectives? And how we're going to go about doing that? It sounds like that's what this plan is asking for. And it sounds also, I would be in agreement that we want to go deeper into this plan because we want to ensure that the appropriate services and the effective services are being used. And so it seems like we do want to go deeper with that. Is that the consensus that I'm hearing?
Just to add really quick a thought, to add it to the section, could it be something as simple as adding in services and programs include but are not limited to, and then in bullet points having a couple of services in this section? It's a thought.
Yeah, I mean, Stephen, to your point, and thank you for that, is we're addressing what's asked of that, but leaving the flexibility to plug in what that may be. Because we may not know right now. We may have an idea, then we reevaluate, and then we enhance, and then we have to add new. And I just don't want to, I don't want to make sure this plan, this initial one, because I of course see another one coming behind it, several more.
And I think that's an easy fix of adding a quality assurance, and I think that's what we're talking about, ensuring, right, we're continually assessing throughout this whole process, and that we're going to create some timelines, right, of when we're going to assess for this, and in with that, we're going to assess, you know, the target population. Is, you know, has the community changed? Has the demographic changed? It just doesn't ever stop, and I think that this is the document we want to have a life, you know, afterwards, and that we're continuing looking at it, and it is going to be changing and evolving because new strategies, new treatments, you know, come, and we want to be open to it and looking to what those new trends are, as well as what the trends are that's happening in our target population, in our community.
Thank you, Nasley. All right, Brian, make sure you're still there.
Oh, no, I can't hide. I've tried. Just ask Jamie. So moving on, following the next section is our Juvenile Justice Realignment Block Grants, and again, specifically to Kim's point, as well as some of the observations that Judge Montague and Laura have made. Again, very generalized statements under the idea that we have at least prioritized certain things that we wanted to focus on. Access to behavioral health. There was the idea that there currently, in the current structure, there might be a gap. A gap in that level of support. So we wanted to highlight that. In terms of trying to address what we know exists, and this goes to something Steve Kim had mentioned earlier. In the second paragraph, there is the plan alludes to a recognition from this group that our targeted population, not just Secure Track, but the targeted population does and has experienced trauma in the past. So it's trying to connect professionals with these youth when they are dealing with any types of crises that they're trying to manage while they're still in custody, including managing that trauma. And then finally, the big one that kind of came out loud and clear throughout the conversations is post-custody, once the bodies leave, if they are not, for a myriad of reasons, if they are not going back home to an impact family unit, if they are going to be required to learn how, prepare for, or need to live more autonomously, it's trying to get them access to temporary and long-term housing. So that was, these were, again, very generalized, high-level kinds of ideas that we wanted to focus our plan on. Now, again, we can go back and certainly be much more focused on how we plan on doing that. As I shared last time, when you're much more general, you have a little bit more flexibility if priorities change or if resources dry up and you have to ask the overarching committee to shift dollars from one focus area to another. So again, that was my pitch, was to make it more general, allow the group more flexibility, but certainly we can fine-tune and really focus our priorities and articulate them specifically in this section. So we can, I leave it to kind of the group to see where we want to, aside from kind of Kim Doyle's point earlier, if we can do what we can do to highlight the question and answer them specifically, we will certainly do that without, or I will certainly take a stab at doing that without painting the group into a corner where if, for example, priorities change and we shift gears, I want to allow the group and the plan to have some flexibility.
Sorry about that, Brian. I muted myself there. So you're on the Juvenile Justice Realignment Block Grant Fund section.
That's correct.
Okay, and again, just for Judge Mulrake and what we talk about in the group, where we had anywhere where there's Secure Track, it'll be Secure Track / Targeted Population, or whatever the right term we use there. I see we corrected mental health and moved that into behavioral health. And anything else from the rest of the group? I'm just trying to follow. Again, thank you, Brian, and I'm just trying to follow where we're at on this.
I have my hand up. This is Dawn.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dawn. Go ahead.
That's okay. I know I'm not on your screen.
You're there. I see you.
Oh, am I there now? Okay.
Yeah.
So in the second paragraph that starts with Secure Track Youth, as Chief Simone was just saying, that could be Secure Track / Target, but it it currently reads, will have access to mental health professionals. And I'm wondering if we want to kind of repeat the sentence that we had previously, which is, we'll have access to trauma-informed behavioral health professionals that can assist with crises experienced while in custody, period.
Okay.
Does that, I don't know if that captures it for everybody, but just kind of a rewording.
Well, I think, Don, what you're talking about there, don't limit it to mental health. It's behavior health with the components of that, but ensuring that the behavior health is trauma-informed, trauma-responsive, trauma-informed.
Right, which will help them to be effective managing trauma for any youth.
Okay. And then also, too, it does say that throughout the request for the plan that that's included. So now to back to Kim's point, we are addressing those questions. It said these type of programs will be this. So we are restating it where appropriate throughout the verbiage.
And just so I'm clear, Steve, I'm sorry. Have we moved on to the Juvenile Justice Realignment Block Grant Funds section?
Yeah, I'm sorry,
okay.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I have some comments there, too, just for comments.
Yeah, go ahead. We're on that one. Let me just make sure I got what Dawn had.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, we're good. I think we're good. Dawn, we get where you're at, and I'm going to turn to Kim.
Okay, perfect. Okay, one thing that I think is so important is in the previous section when we're describing the programs and the facilities, the reason I think that's necessary is because when we move into the block grant fund section, they're very specific as to what we need to answer, and it's not just a description, a general description of how we're going to use the funding. They actually pull it out into six different sections and specifically ask us to describe the grant funds, how they will be applied to the following areas of need or development to realign youth. The first one's mental health, sex offender treatment, or related behavioral health, or trauma-based needs based on what Steve Kim brought up. So they specifically ask us to address that. In subsection B, they would like us to describe the support programs or services that promote healthy adolescent development, and that goes into what Judge Motowiecki was talking about, you know, maybe hygiene, maybe some of the programming that Judge Motowiecki was bringing up that we need. In C, family engagement programs. In subsection D, it talks about how we're going to address reentry, including planning and linkages to support employment, housing, and educational needs. Subsection E says evidence-based, promising, and again, trauma-informed and culturally responsive, which goes back to what Steve said was lacking in this, or Steve Kim said was lacking in this. And then finally, whether and how this plan will include services or programs to realign the youth that are provided for non-governmental or community-based providers. So I think that if those sections are actually delineated and they're asking us to answer those, it's because we're showing them what the program is, and then we're coming back in and saying, where are we attaching these needs of our community? And I think that's so important for all of us to address. And I know it's time consuming. I know it goes, you know, we don't need to get really into the weeds, Brian, but they're asking it from us. So I'm not sure how we can answer it generally without specifically going into those sections and answering how we're going to address those situations. And if we have existing program, tell them we have existing program, but we'll constantly reevaluate that based on the needs of our youth as we see them. So that's where in the second paragraph where it says leverage probation's existing collaborative relationships, just back to what Laura Jose said, we need to address and evaluate that constantly. So we just need to do that general language, but I think we need to address those subsections. So,
these are great points. Go ahead, Nazlin.
No, well, I completely agree with Kimberly saying, and then on top of it, I mean, one thing that we did notice in our target population as we're learning that many of them have drug or alcohol abuse, and so even more so when we're talking about housing and treatment beds, are you telling that our existing, you know, have enough beds for our youth? I mean, I think that's a gap of services, so this is an opportunity to say, yeah, we have existing, but we still have need, and we need to demonstrate that we need those beds and we need these fundings to be able to provide them the treatment beds that is severely lacking in Orange County. So I think we're losing an opportunity to show the importance of how these funds will be used, particularly with what we've already identified, and more so what we have to answer.
Okay. All right, so I have those sections, Brian, so we're at Juvenile Realignment Block Grant Funds. If we're on with that piece, I know somebody had, we had a couple of mentions about facility plan, but let me make sure we've got this section addressed, and then we'll move to facility plan, Brian.
Okay, on to the facility plan section. As we discussed last time, this was the kind of the draft language that was submitted to the subcommittee, not the prior meeting, but the a couple of meetings prior, where to suggestions that Don had made with the language, those were suggested. Now, when we met last week, there was some concern about the way in which this section was written. It appeared that whether the target population or secure track, wherever they landed throughout probation, juvenile facilities, it looked like they were just going to be housed with the general population. And so what I had indicated last week was, while physically the target population can be situated with the general population, it will be based on the needs of the youth, him or herself, that will dictate the types of services or support that the individual is provided. So that gives the department some flexibility when it comes to managing secure track youth and or target population youth that fall in different genders or different age groups, or obviously levels of maturity as well. While it's much easier to package them all and shove them into one facility, it I'm kind of alluding back to a comment and an observation that Don had made last meeting. The hard part you have is if you've got a number of individuals all under the same roof that are exhibiting the same types of behaviors, that could be problematic for the managing agency or even the support services that are being provided. This gives us a little bit more flexibility, and the department is able to shift populations as needed to accommodate these other kinds of characteristics of the population and address the needs that are presented by the youth or herself. Again, I'm not sure if the group is thinking about another way to word this so it doesn't read or
Ryan, it's Daniel. So let me add a little bit of detail that about what we are currently doing and planning on continuing that might add maybe the level of detail that might make this more comfortable. Is it's not that youth are just randomly sprinkled throughout, you know, units in juvenile hall. That there are designated places for youth who don't have an overriding special need. So what we talked about before was if the youth is female, for example, they can be housed with other females. We're going to leave, or if that's appropriate, you know, they would be housed in one of our existing female units. And the additional services can be provided wherever that is. Similarly, if the mental health, acute mental health need is the driving factor, they can be housed in our mental health unit and not have to be uprooted from that and go into a special unit just for secure track or secure track eligibility. But absent one of those overriding needs, we are currently and are planning to continue house youth of the target population, higher, more serious and violent offenses together, based secondarily, or I guess additionally, by age, right? So we have two units that have traditionally been our high-risk or severe serious and violent offender units. We don't want to name those units, though. I think that's kind of to the other points about being more general, so that, again, as needs change, we're not, you know, the name of the unit or the physical location might change, but we are currently housing our serious and violent offense unit of under 18 together and then over 18 together. And that kind of might address, for those youth who don't have a more pressing housing need that overrides that, we are planning on housing this way so that an older youth, a 24-year-old youth, you know, is going to be with other folks similar age, of similar risk level, and those are things which I think are contemplated in the law, that you are housing appropriately by gender and age and risk level and things like that. So, I'm just putting out to the group too. So, if is maybe specifying that or describing that might check off the boxes of housing based on risk and age, offense type, and those other things that I think are delineated, because that is what we're currently doing. What I think would be appropriate going forward too, when you have older kids are going to have similar interests, similar needs. They're probably all going to be in college and not straight off the street like a 15-year-old who may come in and have, you know, not quite be as mature or as far along in the process as they're older.
You know, Daniel, if I can just add what you said too, I know we have talked to you and some of the concerns of our older youth is that 16-year-old coming in, still trying to prove or do what they need to do and disrupt where, and we'll call it a maturity level within our care, and being mindful of those, of the age. But I just wanted to make sure that, you know, the reasoning for that we have seen with our older youth and some of the, just from their own words from these youth is, you know, a 15-16-year-old is going to bring in stuff that a 22-23-year-old may already be past and just be disruptive in what they're trying to get accomplished. Anybody else in the group in related to facility plan? Again, we moved from mental health to behavioral, and we can make that behavioral trauma. We'll use that same verbiage so it's consistent. But is there anything else in the plan? Just being mindful that we are also in the midst of a countywide initiative of re-envisioning our juvenile hall campus, our juvenile justice center area. So this, I want to make sure that we put in this area, we're not, we leave it open enough to know what the future will be when we have the Daniel Hernandez Youth Transition Center open, or whatever we're going to call it when that time comes, but that we have the flexibility in this plan forward and for what we're planning for the future.
I'm just thinking out loud for a second with the facilities plan. So, if you have been two youth the courts determined need to be committed to the SYTF, and you know the court has to make certain findings in order to do that, then is the plan that those two youth are still going to be with the target population, presumably? Even though the courts made a finding that these two youth need to be committed to the SYTF? I'm just asking if that's the vision, because then the court's making those findings that these two youths need the SYTF, but yet they're still going to be housed with the target population. So really, where's the distinction there? I'm just wondering if
housing wise there wouldn't necessarily be a distinction unless you're like an individual need, you know, housing separately or another place or something. And I confirmed with the SEC, you know, we did have to submit a written proposal for what our secure track facility plan, or yeah, the facility plan was. And yeah, that was it was appropriate. So.
Because obviously you see where I'm going as the judge, I see there's two different arguments then going on with respect to a commitment versus a non-commitment in our county.
Yeah, just thinking about the statute, I think with a secure track commitment, the court can then you know, order those less restrictive options and things like that, but I guess a judge could do that anyway. You just order them to released and housed, you know, and participate in the YRC or something like that as well. But yeah, I think the statute contemplates a variety of different, of course, jurisdictions that have different resources and things like that, where you might have a separate facility and those kinds of things. So maybe it is. Yeah, I think the way we're set up here, yeah, housing wise, it's not inherently going to be a different place if a youth gets committed to secure track, or if they just remain part of the target population. Maybe it does give the court a little bit more discretion to order. I mean, you know, where they want the youth housed if they're under secure track. But yeah, other than that, yeah, absent the youth's needs, yeah, we don't have plans to house them.
Your Honor, this kind of highlights or it highlights the concern that I tried to balance earlier, right? Where even when we're talking about the services, current services that we're providing, while a number of the services are provided within particular facilities throughout, they're provided uniformly. So the hard part is, if we're going to want to separate, let's say, if our plan is going to call out the idea that we're going to separate kids who are eligible for SYTF, and we start them on this track where it's already enhanced services, and now we, now that the youth is ordered specifically SYTF, and we move the body, let's say, out to a another, I don't know, unit within the facility. Now we really do, in fact, have to think about a whole. It's like thinking about a brand new, whole different level of support that is enhanced from the kind of the baseline support that we're all talking about. So that's the kind of the challenge, at least I had, in trying to articulate it on paper. But believe me, it is much easier. It is easier for tracking purposes and the whole thing if we want to compartmentalize all SYTF ordered youth into a completely separate place within the three different facilities that probation operates, and you know, kind of go from there.
And I'm not proposing one or the other. I am just bringing it up as an issue, because if you really don't have a distinction between the programs and services or support within the facility between the target population and a SYTF, you know, how is the court going to make findings to say the youth needs to be committed to SYTF when, you know, those findings are set by statute? So I'm just raising the issue because it's something that I think we do need to think about, because it's putting the court in a difficult position. And again, you know, I'm not trying to say one way or the other which way they should go, but there should be a viable option, because if we have to make findings to say this youth cannot be treated, you know, through probation's normal course, we need to go to SYTF. We need to know what that SYTF, that is different, because that's what we're tasked with determining, right? So I think it's something that we do need to think about in this facility plan.
So Judge, real quick, are you, what you're saying is, and I appreciate you saying, not saying one way or the other, but would be different is just purely where they're housed alone would be the difference in the court's eyes?
Well, I'm trying to look for the factors, but the court has to, Kim, I'm going to look to you because you normally have everything ready at the hand. The court has to make certain findings in order to say this target population youth won't benefit, and I believe that's kind of what the language is like, a little bit similar to what the prior DJJ language was, that this youth won't necessarily benefit from the services at this level, at the county level, the local level. So the secure youth treatment facility is a more appropriate place or more appropriate, you know, services for this youth. And if we don't have a difference, a distinction between the two, the court's going to be stuck trying to figure out what we could do for a particular youth who may not qualify or may need higher level of services than the target population needs. And again, historically, we know what those numbers are, right? They're very small. But I think we do at least have to have the option for the court to consider.
But Judge, and this is just, this confuses me as well, is why I'm bringing this up, but if those services are available, as we have said, to the target population as well, right? If we want to have a broad array of services, then maybe just by default, we don't have to order kids into secure track, and like, who cares?
I know.
If they're all serviced, because I don't think, and I'm certainly not going to speak for you, but I'm pretty sure we're all on the same page that we agree with Dawn and Daniel and Brian that they shouldn't necessarily all be housed in one more secure or severe, you know, programming. You know, they should be put in appropriate housing. And if we have certain, I mean, it may just be that we don't.
That's why, Laura, I said that's why I'm not taking a position either way, because as I said, you know, there's arguments on both sides, but those arguments are still going to happen because, you know, the statute requires the judge and looks at the petitioner and says, you know, that gives the petitioner the option of arguing that this particular youth needs a higher level services that are under the SYTF. So that's why I'm saying it's almost as if you're, you know, I don't want to say this, but it is almost making SYTF pretty much non-existent in Orange County. And I'm not proposing either way. I'm just bringing it out because I know from the bench's perspective, it's, you know, and I know Kim's office, they may still want to argue that, and it's already setting us up for a position where we're not going to have the options.
I was going to make note of that. I actually have an 823 expert who's Joe Kohler on my team. He's pulling that section for us right now. But the issue is this, and Judge Mataweke makes a good point, is that the whole premise of 823 was that DJJ was going to move from a statewide level, obviously, to our counties. But if we're going to say existing program, if we're going to say existing housing, then where's that delineation for a court to say, I'm stepping this individual up to the secured track for the purposes of this type of programming in this type of housing? So I think that's what the delineation is. And I think that's what we have to be very cognizant of is the purposes is that we have this specialized unit and programming specifically for this identified youth. So
it's the expansion of the definition from the former DJJ youth to DJJ eligible. So that inherently is creating this dilemma for us. So we're going to provide enhanced services to this new population, the eligible population, the target population. So it is going to be new and enhanced and additional what we were providing previously. But yes, I think in Orange County, yeah, we don't have the need for a higher security facility, right? So because we already have one. And so, whereas I think in other jurisdictions, yeah, they might be shipping when a kid gets committed to a secure track, that is a jail, you know, a jail-like, prison-like facility because all of their facilities are camps or their one-room juvenile halls, that kind of thing. So they literally had to come up with something more secure for this population because they weren't keeping them before. They were physically sending all of their youth to DJJ, whereas we don't. So there is, and from BSCC, there is not a need for us to create a separate location or an even more secure location, build another fence around Unit T or anything like that. And I think, like what folks are saying too, the people who know our system and our programs our current high risk youth, they're great kids. You know, they're doing a good job, and we don't want to treat them any more securely than we already do, right? So the additional services will be provided to the entire target population, which will include, again, if anyone were to be committed to secure track, again, maybe like people are suggesting, maybe that is obsolete in Orange County because it's not a physical location change. And all eligible youth will be provided the additional service where they weren't before. So I don't see a problem with with us providing the same services to the eligible, plus if a youth is committed, because that's the dilemma that's created by the expansion of the definition.
Daniel, I have a question, and this is a knowledge gap for me because I'm not familiar with the youth that were sent to DJJ, I think four that we had there. Was the determination to send them there based on the need for high security, or was it based on the need for more robust programming? Because I'm wondering if what we need is some sort of statement. I mean, yes, they're going to be housed wherever their need is, but do we need to call something out that says, you know, in the event that a youth did require, you know, we have high security level units where secure track youth, other youth would be placed there too, though, so I don't know. I guess I was just thinking, is there any value in maybe calling out security level of certain locations differently to address it?
Daniel, if it's possible, can I step in just for a moment on this particular situation? When it comes to what was happening at DJJ, we sent them there not only for security, reasons, but also for the enhanced treatment. DJJ had some exceptional programming that we didn't have on deck here. But specifically within the code section, it's WIC 875A, which is the secured treatment facility, which is SYTF. There's several factors that need to be made, and maybe we can incorporate WIC 875A into our definition, so we're clear on the fact that we're not saying we've got existing housing, existing programming, because the court has to make basic determinations, the severity of the offense, the previous delinquent history, the programming and treatment and educational offered and provided is appropriate to meet the needs of the youth, and that the ward and that whether the goals and rehabilitation of the community and safety are met. It also talks about the fact that there is not a less restrictive alternative or disposition that's suitable for the individual. So that's what we need to make a determination on. So when we say existing programming, we need to be clear that it's the programming that for these particular youth that was not suitable based on what their delineation of those factors are. So the court has to make that determination. So I don't know if we can incorporate that in, so we're not pigeonholing ourselves into just a basic program across the county. So, if that makes sense. Sorry, Don, I didn't want to interrupt you, Daniel. Do you have anything to add?
Well, just that I think it's going to be, again, maybe another obsolete point to argue that existing programming is insufficient when, if they're in the target population, the existing program is going to be the new program. It's going to be the enhanced program. So once they've committed that offense and they're in the target population, they're eligible.
And I'm all for that, Daniel. I mean, you know, if we didn't have to commit any of the kids to SYTF, that would be great. But in the event that we do, what I don't want happening is, a judge saying, well, a commitment to SYTF, but we don't have anything that's different. And then we're looking to do what? With the youth. I don't want that youth going to another county. I don't want that youth to leave the community, because the whole purpose of realignment is to keep the youth here. So I just don't want to be in that position where we're then looking for some specialized program for this particular youth that we would like to keep here, but for some reason the court has found SYTF to be a more appropriate Yeah, and the judge is going to ask me, well, what does it entail if I find that the current programming is not sufficient? Don't get me wrong. I would like all of our youth to stay here and preferably, not have to be going to SYTF. But if they are going to SYTF, I would like them to stay here. I don't want them going out to another county facility or county program, because I think that goes against what the realignment is all about.
But to me, that speaks to the point that, we're all sort of making, which is if these programs are, if we identify the gap, right, for the high-end user, as well as the normal target population user, if we identify those gaps, as Don was suggesting, well, what was missing? Why did we send those couple kids up there? Then we meet there is no place to send anybody, because it's all based on the individual plan. And we're going to have to come up with an individual plan that meets those kids' needs, whether you call it Secure Track or you call it the general population, because that's what we're going to be tasked to do. And at that point, I think we do wind up possibly just subsuming, you know, A23 Secure Track kids, because there is no other, you know, we're not going to send them out of county,
right,
or that's not the goal, right? So the plan is the individualized plan and coming up with whatever that kid needs. And once we come up with what they need, there's no...
Right, then there has to be very specialized SO program. I mean, you know, we need those high-level programs, because I think all of us who have seen, know historically the youth that are going up, it's to benefit from that intensive SO program. And others have gone up for various reasons. But, you know, that's something that we really need to put in place then, because it just can't be if we get the things, and we have to do it. Because we are contemplating, you know, having a difference in SYTF here being something or not, you know, because we've already offered the programming before they even get to the commitment or the contemplation of the commitment to SYTF.
I have a question about that, because I thought we discussed when we met last time, and I know, I don't think Judge Murnaghi, you were on the whole call, that there are certain types of programming that may end up being regionalized, because for something like sexo treatment, you might do individual, but they may need group. If you don't have enough people to do group, but the neighboring county has a program that specializes in it and they have five kids there, that might clinically be the most appropriate place for that youth to go. So rather than keeping them here to keep them in county, but they're not going to get the benefit of a full treatment milieu because there aren't enough other individuals that share that same clinical need.
And again, Your Honor, to dovetail on something that Don had pointed out, that was kind of the point where the person may lay their head down in the same physical location as others, mm-hmm, that would fit the target population. But if needed, if our version or Orange County's version of SYTF was a program or a more intensive level of support that was offered by a neighboring county, and it was simply probation was responsible for providing transport on a, call it day-to-day or whatever, then so be it. But again, that's where the challenge has been in trying to differentiate our enhanced level of service that we're trying to get to, and then in those rare occasions, what would happen if, despite our best efforts, we had someone that had higher needs. The question would be, would we in Orange County still be able to provide support? I would argue that we would still. But again, that's something that we're trying to hammer out.
Can I
ask
the question real quick about why we sent or had sent certain youth? I think the goal of the enhanced programs and services is to prevent that need, you know, that it is doing something additional that we didn't have. And the reasons are not that at least probation may have recommended in the past. Again, the court may have done things, you know, or committed youth to UDJ in the past, but for maybe the sex offender treatment program or other things, it's behavioral, you know. So I wouldn't say it was the physical, again, like I said, fences or security per se, but it's behavioral. So that's what we're hoping that the enhanced programs and services will be able to accomplish and keep those youth locally and treat them locally. So, but to the sex offender population, you know, again, we have a program, which a lot of counties don't. So again, statute considering all counties and counties that don't have a program, we routinely send you could be JJ for sexual offenses, but we don't. So it might be like maybe what Don's suggesting is maybe, you know, changing or enhancing what we do, or looking at individual needs if we don't have a population or a group to support a particular needs. You know, needs. But again, we have a program where it contemplates many, probably most counties don't.
You know, if I can add, too, this actually moves me into the consortium discussion. one of the intentions of the consortium is this rare occasion potentially for us in the county who has every service. When you look at 823, 823 is intended for every youth across the state to be provided a level of service. Maybe it would be to a point where we went to the consortium, we move in that direction, we find this level of service to Don's point, where they can provide that level for a period of time and the youth returns back to us. But I think we have a lot of what-ifs that are very difficult to address in a plan. We can build upon what youth we know about and really trying to separate what a secure track is compared to the services for target population. I don't know if we're going to be able to come to the precise answer to that, but clearly as a subcommittee, as a group of individuals here that are working towards the goal for these youth, that we address the best we can in our plan, knowing that we're going to have to continue to build upon that. Part of my discussion on the consortium when we get to that point was to that point where we got that rare case that, to Brian's point, more likely we'll figure it out here in Orange County or can do it or build it, but what if we can't? And what if there was this rare case, Judge, we talked about fire camps, and we didn't have a fire camp here, but we found a fire camp, to say LA County decides to build one here a little bit closer. And for a period of time, that youth were to go there, or young adult were to go there for a period of time and then return to us. So I think these are all great discussions. I don't know if you can even address them in any particular plan, but I think we're going to come across some, I'll just use the term, unintended consequences of all of this that's going to come out. And I'm gonna bank on that we're all willing to work together to do what's best for the kids. So I'm just trying to add some substance to that. I look at the facility plan at this point. I don't want to limit this, especially with the future planning we have, and to name specific facilities, and then in turn, we actually have other facilities. Now we can use all of ours, what's appropriate for the youth. So just a couple of points I want to add. I'm also just trying to be mindful of everybody's time too. Make sure if there's other areas we wanted to cover, but just a couple of points in listening. And I just took the oxygen all the way out of the subcommittee group. Everybody went silent. Here's Brian, I'm going to put it back to you. Is there anything else on facility plan? I know I've written down a few things here we can add and see if we can make this a little more formidable, that the group would give us enough flexibility to understand, to the judge's point, our intention is to keep our youth here locally. We will look to do that to the best of our abilities, but understanding that maybe there'll be that rare youth and won't, and how we address that could be in the section of the regional plan, which in turn too could come from another county. Could say Orange County, you've got it, you've got a great program there, and that may add to it. You know, we may have the capacity to service that youth here too.
But real quick on the facility plan, when we were asked by BSCC, we had to submit a written proposal as to what our plans were for the secure secure track youth facility was going to be. And so I had some discussion with our regional BSCC rep because we were, of course, contemplating that our camps would be involved in the continuum as well. My original understanding was that those would be considered less restrictive options and that juvenile hall would be the actual secure track facility. But after discussing it with our rep, she said no, both YLA and YGC qualify as secure facilities simply because they have a fence. And so all three facilities were submitted in our proposal as secure track facility. So again, that's just to clarify some definitions and discussion that I had, that all three of our facilities were approved as secure track facilities.
And Daniel, that include our youth reporting centers too?
No, that would be a less restrictive option.
Okay.
You know, that judge could order what we need to.
I just have a comment that I really do appreciate the conversation. I'm really listening attentively, and I think it's making me critically think a lot about the population who's currently there. And I guess it's also something, as you're saying, it's been a shift, right? And the unintended consequences is maybe looking at the general population, and maybe there's other alternatives other than being in this confined placement, and maybe there's other least restrictive that they can do, which then maybe that might create a difference, right? of the confinement. So that could also be another intended of looking at alternatives to detentioning to those who are, like, what's the difference? That's kind of my question. Like, what's the difference when the general population, why are they in those restricted facilities? Could they be in a lesser restricted facility based on the crime that they committed? Obviously, it's going to be different from the one who's, you know, in secure track is what I'm seeing, I'm understanding, right? So why isn't there a difference with the general population? So, you know, more questions came out, not solutions, but I like it, and I hope that we can continue addressing it.
Well, I like it because it sounds like then YGC could definitely be the camp facility, the camp for our population, and that would mean that we could potentially, or probation could potentially expand it so it's not just the substance abuse treatment, right? That's what I'm hearing. And that would be great because we, you know how much I love that campus.
Yes, Judge.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know what you're talking about, Your Honor.
Don't go there, Brian.
Okay, I just want to make sure, again, we cover that. And to your point, Judge, just real quick, when we build, too, in having consideration of the, because we do have the county's commitment to replace before we leave anywhere, but adding this component to what you're saying, too, that it's more than just a drug treatment type facility, even if those are the right words now, substance abuse or, you know, substance use. So I just want to make sure we move this through, and I think we've got, I've got a few notes here to add that we, so we can bring this back to the group. Again, providing the most flexibility, I think, will be key in this initial plan for us as we move forward. Brian, did you have, make sure you're still with us there. I got you right there, and you can bring us home here.
Okay, so moving on to the, so, kind of wrap this up in a bow. We'll relook at the facility plan and come up with maybe a further analysis and language for consideration for the group. But moving on to the next section, retaining the target population. Obviously, as before, I think it goes without saying that within this system, it's the County of Orange has historically established an incentive-based type of model to try to encourage certain behavior of our youth to participate in not only the in-custody programming, but also encouraging them to hit both short-term and longer-term goals towards their release and later reintegration in the community. So again, it was just a high level statement about probation and the county's use of not only monetary but non-monetary incentives to encourage behavior. That's what we're going to continue to leverage, whether it's on the target population or anyone that is assigned specifically ordered to participate in SYTF. I don't know if there was any other feedback or commentary specific to this section.
And just as previous, Brian, I just want to add where we identify secure track, that it'll say secure track slash target population.
That's correct.
We'll be all inclusive in there too. Okay, anything else from the group on that related to that piece?
I think some component to talk about parents as well. I mean, I know having parent involvement and making sure that we have something, incentives for parents and how we can, I mean, I understand there's temporary releases from custody to spend time with family, but I think it's more than just that. It's just making sure parents have access to their youth, to visitation. We know that when they are connected to their family, they will improve in whatever program they're in a facility. So I think there needs to be some language in there on how we are involving the parents.
There was an allusion to that in an earlier section where in terms of the establishment of a case plan, there was going to be an ongoing review of that, but we can certainly include that in this section as well, Nazlie.
And Nazlie, if I could build upon that family connection and or maybe a significant support. You know, some youth have a
another individual that the court may want to consider in lieu of family because they're not available or able. So we'll use the, I forget the exact word, but I know we have another word that, or another statement that we can use related to for that youth to be released or temporary release to. So whether it's family and or significant support person, we'll get the right term.
And I was just going to point out, that's specific in the WIC code in our 1995, that is in that section 1995C3C. So if we address that specifically, it says family engagement in programs, et cetera. So that's actually delineated in 1995. So I just wanted to point that out. Thank you.
Thank you to our resident 1995 expert. We appreciate that, Kim. I know I've seen it too. I was just trying to find it. You got it for me, so thank you.
Okay, then moving on to the next section that calls out the action item that was continued from last week, the any regional efforts. So just to reiterate, currently there does not exist a regional cooperative, whether it's a JPA or mutual agreement between neighboring counties, as it relates to SYTF or any specific programs. But again, there was no change to the language in this particular section because the action item was continued from last week, and the chief, of course, will address any issues or questions. So I'll kind of leave that section open for item number 5 of the agenda for discussion, and depending on how that conversation goes, we can certainly come back to this particular section and finesse the language so it reflects the kind of the appetite of the group after. So then moving on to the last section, the data section, this kind of goes to how or what we as a group have agreed so far that we would want to track. Because we did want to focus not only on those factors that typically relate to the traditional recidivism metrics, you know, rearrests, any sustained petitions throughout the term of supervision, whether it's from the target population or anyone that is specifically ordered to SYTF, but also, because we are looking at some of those strength-based, or I think the last time, I think it was Heather, you had mentioned coming up with overarching, we'll call them, for lack of a better term, resiliency metrics, right? So after training, after education, after the support, how likely was our, whether it be target population or SYTF-specific youth, how did they do once they were released out in the community after a period of time, whether it's 6 months, a year? Did they not only find but retain permanent housing? How did they do when it came to, how was their job readiness, and how did that get them to a situation where they not only secured employment, but they maintained that employment for a lengthier period of time after 6 months of review, a year, 2 years, and what have you. So the invite last meeting was, if there are any other metrics that the group wanted to ensure was included in our section and our data section, certainly please reach out and we'll incorporate those particular metrics into this section. The only caveat that caveat and admonishment to the group is that while probation would take the lead in managing, we would just want to ensure that whatever data we wanted to track is actually data that can be tracked. And then that in as much as we could, we would try and administer a pre, during, and post kind of measurement, if that makes sense. So if we're talking about readiness, how ready was the person at the initial how ready were they for whatever the end result was during any kind of support or training, and then post, whether it's 6 months, a year, 2 years down the road, how did they do towards the ultimate goal? So that's kind of where we were going.
Okay. And Brian, aren't all these, a lot more data points are already being tracked with our YDC youth, are they not? Which is the target population. So probation, I think, is already ahead of the game in trying to, in capturing a lot more data that this may not even want, right?
That's right. Yes, Your Honor. Okay. So with that, unless there are any other questions or comments, I am going to stop talking now so that I'll let the group go on with its agenda. I've got plenty of writing to do, clearly, for the next meeting. So thank you all.
So with number four, it did say discussion approval of draft. Since there is more input, I would say we've done the discussion, but there would not be an approval at this time of this draft. We would bring it to the next meeting. But I do need to make sure that I do get any public comment. First of all, let me make sure the committee's fine with our continued discussion and the approval of draft. We will move that to the October 7th meeting. But I do need to get public comment after if there's any more committee comments. All right, Jamie, are you still there with us?
I'm here.
All right, poor Jamie is a little under the weather, so we're trying to get her through here. So, Jamie, public comments, please.
If anybody wishes to speak, if they could hit star 9 on their phone or the hand raise icon on your Zoom app. This is for item 4. And we do not have any requests.
Right, thank you, Jamie. Okay, I'm to item number 5, review and approve recommendation that will be made to the OCJJCC for Orange County to join the statewide consortium. So let me just give you a little more discussion. And first of all, I would tell you I'm in agreement that we put that into our plan and get the overall OCJJCC to make that decision if we should be involved with the consortium. I've been in numerous conversations this past week related to the consortium. There is only one county that is at this point not going to participate, and that is Los Angeles. Most of the other counties, if not every other one, I could pretty much safely say 90% plus, intend to be involved in the consortium in the beginning stages for several reasons. First and foremost, to be at the table in the discussions in forming this consortium. But when you look at our past conversation we just had with that rare youth, the consortium would be its intention, if you look back on the previous document, one of its intentions is to ensure that all youth are have the ability to access the type of secure track program for them. And if we had that youth that we couldn't be here for whatever reason, we would have that ability forward to do that. And I have spoken with our CEO. Many departments are doing it differently. Some probation chiefs are just going to use the 823 funds and initially get involved and engaged. But I would, in talking with Brian, I support and understand where the committee feels at this time that part of our plan that we would make that recommendation and let the OCJJCC make that decision, which I can present that. But I don't know if there's any further discussions. There's, again, like with the OYCR, the Office of Youth and Community Restoration, the consortium has some unanswered questions. There's some kind of ground rules of what they want to set. But I think it's important at this time, from what I see, is for our involvement to be there and make that recommendation for our involvement. If we see down the road that we don't need to be involved, we don't need engaged, we'll be okay. But I would hate to see an opportunity when we look at promising our best practices and looking at most of the state, even if there's counties that believe they can provide all the level of services, they're still going to be involved with a quote-unquote insurance policy that they've used the consortium. So I just wanted to make sure I brought that up. I think we have to do a motion in a second as I read this, Jamie.
Is it possible to have more discussion? Because I do have discussion on this topic.
Yeah. So listen, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make the motion.
Okay.
In a second, we'll start discussion. How's that sound? So
that sounds
good. I will make the motion to make a recommendation that the SB 823 recommends that the County of Orange be involved in a statewide consortium. looking for a second. No second?
I can second it, Steve.
All right, Don. I appreciate it for conversation. Okay. Ms. Doyle.
Yes. Just briefly, I've done quite a bit of research and background on this, and I presented it to my elected, and I'm going to be clear, we're going to be a no on this. I actually reached out to San Diego County, and they said they would not be joining the consortium. Do you have different information on that, Steve?
They have an interim chief who was not available for the meeting, so I could probably make a call and find out for you.
My understanding is I was in contact with Chief Weinreb, who's on the 823 committee. She said it was never submitted to their 823 committee and that their probation department did not intend to join the consortium or any regional hubs. There's a few things that are really concerning to us, and if I'm wrong on that, Steve, please correct me when it comes to San Diego, but one thing that I'm really concerned about with this consortium is this, is that it flies in the face of 823. The whole purpose of 823 passing was that the youth are served within the county in which they reside. And we in Orange County have taken that to heart because we're actually going through these processes and have a robust program, and we'll have a robust program because I know that we're going to hold our own feet to the fire when we don't have that programming, and we're going to get that programming for our youth, and that's the most important thing. So I feel like the consortium kind of flies in the face of that because 823 says that youth should be served within the community in which they live, and we should promote the programming in order to serve that youth. So I think that it's in complete face of 823, and two, it doesn't hold our feet to the fire as a county to say, if we don't have a SUD program, a substance abuse program, we should get it. If we don't have a program such as a sexual offender program that's going to facilitate several individuals in that conversation, we should figure out how to get that within our county. I feel as if you're going across the state and we join this, we in essence are saying, okay, if you're not, another county does not hold their own feet to the fire, they're going to then look to us and say, oh no, Orange County has it. So they're going to send it. And then my question becomes this, what does that mean? Do we have MOUs bringing those youth into our county? And I'm not saying that we don't want to serve that youth, but the biggest concern is what are the details of that? So that hasn't been laid out correctly. So that's my main concern, is that I feel that in joining this, we're not holding our own feet to the fire as a county saying, we can get that programming for our own youth. We're a strong, powerful county. And I feel as if in joining it, we're going to be looking towards and basically facilitating the smaller counties. But if the smaller counties need to seek out our programming, it seems like they could do that outside of a group such as this. So that's my concern. We are going to be voting no on this. I want to be very clear. I took it all the way up to the top, and those are the positions that we have.
Okay, yeah. And I appreciate and understand the stance that you're taking. At this point, the consortium does not, make it a shall, that Orange County shall serve other counties. I think these are all options in the discussion. I think there's details that still need to be worked out that you brought up, that let's just say the group decided that we would be involved. We can get out. It's not for life. It's not a lifetime membership. And we can get out if we saw that it was not appropriate. I initially see it as an insurance policy to ensure that every youth we have, whether we serve that youth here, or if we by chance we had an inability, and I agree with you, I think we should get the service here, but getting the service here and having it when the court needs it, a lot of this 823 is very specific about what it intends to do, and then there's some unknowns there, and I think this just filled one gap of it, but I've written down what you said, I understand where you're saying, I think that's why it's important to bring it to the larger group where the department head, as myself sits there, as the district attorney sits there, the public defender sits there, they can voice their concerns and issues with it. But I am not aware at this time. I'll find out about San Diego again. They have an interim chief, and they had some unexpected things happen last week, so they weren't at our meeting. Los Angeles was the one I heard, and that's kind of primarily driven, as I understand, by their advocates at this point. They want to take over juvenile probation. That's probably left for another discussion, not today by any means, but I just want to make sure we have as much information as possible If the group decided to be involved in the consortium, I do look at it as there's benefits, but I also hear what you are saying too, and holding this county's the accountability factor to this county to ensure that we meet every piece of that service. I believe that's our intention, and I'm just looking at the other piece of if we couldn't. I didn't want to leave initially when I say now, today. I don't want to leave the bench in a position to say we don't have that service for that youth. Go get it. Meanwhile, what's the youth going to do in between that time if there was something available? So is there any, and I thank you, Kim, I appreciate that information on that. Is there anything else related to that? At this point, we're basically looking just to bring it to the OCJJCC, which I believe the group, I was in last week's meeting, or on the ninth meeting, it just felt more comfortable for that discussion to occur there, that at least that we would make the recommendation. It would put me in the position to bring as much information as possible, as you have, Kim, and then let the larger body make that decision for the county. But I agree with your points. I firmly believe I'm a big fan of insurance policies if we need it, and I just want to make sure we didn't miss that opportunity. It's pretty much where I'm at. But let me see if there's anything else from the committee, and we can take a... go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nasley.
I think, Heather, you had it, and then I'll go after you, Heather.
I was just going to make sure that we understand. Motion that we're going to make or vote that the subcommittee is just about to bring the topic,
yeah,
recommending to bring the topic up to the larger group or to the whole group,
yeah,
not that we are in support or not support at this moment in time, correct? Just to bring it up to them that there needs to be a larger discussion with all of the members. And so if any of us here in the subcommittee agree or disagree, that conversation is going to be when it's talked about in the larger group.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Heather, I'm just reading here.
No problem.
It's written as the county will invest, so it would sound like we're making a recommendation. We can switch that verbiage to consider its involvement as opposed to recommend, so that allows yourself and Kim and maybe potentially others to have. I think the discussion does need to be to the larger body, and I just want to make sure we at least get it there.
Yeah, because I also agree with Kimberly for her reasons, her department's reasons,
yeah,
as well as additional ones that after thoughtful consideration, I wouldn't vote to be part of the consortium. I feel that paying money to collaborate, especially at the different levels based on the amount of funding that each county gives, is not the best way to go. I feel like our county, as someone put it, I think Judge Monwike, we're all overachievers here, and we have enough resources and expertise to figure this out, and just to pay for that collaboration and at the differing levels, that takes away funding for the actual services for our population. So I just want to make sure that when we make our recommendation, it's a recommendation to discuss it at the larger group, not that we are deciding to recommend that the group be part of it or not.
Okay, so I will change my motion to make it a recommend to discuss.
Thank you so much.
Involvement into the consortium. Do I have a second for that? We'll make sure we change that language in the plan.
Chief, before we do that, can I just, Nasley was... wanted to say something.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're right. No, I think Heather clarified, and nobody disagreed with her, that the money, I wanted to know what the money was used for, and the money is just to use to collaborate. So I would be in agreement with Kimberly and Heather. I don't feel that's good use of our funding.
It's the membership fee. That's how I understand it.
Okay. So I will change my motion, and I had Donna in a second. The motion would be recommend that the consortium discussion be brought to the JJ, not with support or support or non-support of it, but to bring it to the larger body, the OCC, JJCC.
Can I just bring up one thing, Steve?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt again, because this is really important. You know, I always say that this particular meeting is really important. My understanding of what Brian represented before is that they were seeking a recommendation from us whether or not our committee felt we should join the consortium. Mm-hmm. So that was my concern, is that we all did diligent work this week to make sure that we found out, I believe, what our significant electeds felt, and that we could give a recommendation to JJCC that we not join the consortium based on our 823 committee. But that's now not what we're doing.
Well, at this point, then, I would have to do a motion and a second to get that voted through, and then probably change the verbiage. So we do have a motion. I'm sorry, let me just back up here. So we do have a motion and a second to recommend. That's all. Just use the verbiage here to recommend that this that the county be involved in the statewide consortium. So let's just take a vote on that. It covers that one, and we can make a new motion.
Steve, I'm sorry. I hate to do this. I'm sorry. I wasn't in the meeting last week. But is this request, though, is it coming via a statute that's requiring the subcommittee to weigh in on, or is it actually saying the Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council? Because there's a difference. So I don't know if the consortium request is actually being, you know, put on the subcommittee, or is it being put on the OCC, the JJCC?
Well, let me see, Chief, if I can provide some clarification. So last week, Your Honor, how it was written was the, to your specific point, the decision whether or not to join the consortium was going to be placed on the SB 823 committee. After a lot of consternation, I had indicated that, okay, and thank you to Kim for kind of rewording the recommended action, because the purpose of joining the consortium was going to be part of our overall plan, our task as an SB 823 committee was to formulate the plan and then present that to the larger parent group, the OCJJCC, which also included a recommendation whether or not we were going to join the consortium. So today's vote was simply to see if there was any appetite from the SB 823 committee whether or not the larger group, in this case the JJCC, should in fact encourage or indicate whether or not the County of Orange had any appetite for joining the consortium. So, to Heather's point earlier, yes, this is simply a recommendation to the larger parent committee whether or not this group believes it is in the county's best interest to join the consortium. I hope that makes sense. And that's why it was part of the draft plan. And so that's why I had said earlier, in the event this group had said, we don't know about whether or not joining the consortium makes sense, I would then go back to the draft plan and remove that language. Does that make sense to everybody? I hope so.
And if I can add to it, too, the consortium doesn't have to be in this subcommittee. We thought it would be. There's some departments that the chief and their CEO have already decided to do it for the county, and then they were going to take it out of the department's funds. So it doesn't have to be here. I felt that I was looking at across the board for those departments that were doing it were going to be involved or use 823 funds, and that's why I had it put in here. If this committee feels that it should not be recommended to there, or at least not be taken, first of all, should not be recommended, that takes care of one side of it, and then we would just have to move from there. So right now we just have a motion and a second whether we should recommend this to the larger group. That's as the motion and the second stands. Okay, so with that, let's just, I think would be the easiest way here, if I could look at the group here. So those in favor, if you could just give me a hand up on there, then I'll make sure I get the one.
You have to do a roll call.
I have to do a roll call.
Yes.
Okay, all right, so we'll start with myself with the roll call, and I'm going to put yes, it should be brought to the recommended and brought to the OCJJCC. So I would be a yes. Sorry. Let me get my list here of names. Sorry, I got multiple pieces of paper. Okay.
Is that the first motion?
That was the first motion.
Yeah.
Yes. Was two.
And actually, I'm sorry, before you vote, you do need to ask for public comments before you take a vote.
Okay.
Sorry.
Let me restate the motion, and then we'll go to public comments, and then we'll vote. At this time, it is recommended in our draft plan that the 823 subcommittee would recommend to invest in the statewide consortium being established. We had a first and a second with that. Are there public comments related to that? Thank you.
Okay, there are public comments for item 5. If you can hit star 9 on your phone or the hand raise icon on the Zoom app. And there are no requests.
Okay, thank you, Jamie. So now we do a roll call vote?
Yes.
Okay, so Steve Sapman, I'm going to vote yes. Kim Doyle?
We're a no in joining the consortium.
Thank you. Laura Jose?
At this time, I'm a no without further discussion.
Okay, thank you. Judge Modereke?
At this time, I'm also a no.
Okay. Raymond Sanchez?
No.
Don Smith? Don, you still with us?
I don't see.
Okay, I'm going to move over to Heather Benjamin.
No.
Thank you. And Jamie, would Katie be okay to vote for Lynn?
Yes.
Or no?
Yes.
Okay. Then from Lynn Garrett, Katie? KDR? I'm sorry.
I know, it's quite all right. I will be a no.
Okay, thank you. Steve Kim?
Same, no.
Nasley Restrepo?
No.
You and Ken Santini?
I will be a yes.
Okay, thank you. So, at this point, it will be pulled from our draft plan as not part of the discussion. We will keep the language. Then, Brian, can you just run through the language one more time for me on so that we can wrap that piece up?
So we'll remove the we'll move the consortium, any reference to the consortium language out of the regional effort. In essence, it'll say something like the County of Orange currently has services that can provide support to the target population or any youth that is ordered to SYTF. In the event the County of Orange cannot, it will seek out regional agreements to provide the support. So it'll be something like that.
Okay. All right, Brian. Thank you. Okay. So it takes care of item number 5. So at this time, are there any other committee comments? And then I'm going to go to public comments after that. Any other committee comments about today? I will just say thank you to everybody. This has been, it's very important. All of your input is very much appreciated. And as we move forward, and ultimately doing right by the youth that we serve, and that's our drive. Let me see if there's any public comments. Jamie?
Sorry, if there's any general public comments, if you can hit star 9 on your phone or the hand raise icon on the Zoom app. And there are no requests.
Okay. All right. Well, with that, our next meeting will be Thursday, October the 7th. Again, I thank you, everybody, for your time. Jamie, I hope you feel better. I thank you for hanging in there. That's a long afternoon. And I rest the half hour left in your day. Have a good day. The rest of it's left. Thank you, everybody.